The first reading for today is from Isaiah. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The second reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, and is also found on page 3 of your worship bulletin. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Mercy and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus.
There are a lot of distractions around, things that take our focus away from what Christmas is really about. Now, all distractions aren't bad as long as they're not keeping us distracted. I mean, things that are around us that remind us that it's winter time, that it's a joyful time, but we've got to go back to what that joyful time is about. A snowman is going to make you think of winter, but it may not necessarily make you think about Jesus. An Advent wreath, a whole lot more likely to make you think about Jesus than burning a Yule log in your fireplace. There are things that distract and things that draw us back to Christ. In the church, we have a chrismon tree, Christ monograms. So those remind us in all kinds of ways about Jesus, except for the one little red one in the middle there. It says Holy Cross. That was from Reformation last year, and 500th anniversary. So we do still have some of those. If you want one, let me know. But those are reminders of Jesus also, in a sense, because the Holy Cross is the place that we come to praise our God. And in the center of that, the O is the Luther's Rose, which reminds us all about God, if you look up the understanding of Luther's Rose. But we need to make sure that we keep the focus in what is coming. And what is coming for us is simply a Savior. And our hymns remind us of this. Our readings remind us of this. Even this Savior who was despised, who was pierced, who was stricken, smitten, and afflicted, who was punished for our sins. This Savior first came as a babe to the world, innocent, and unable to care for himself, but beloved by those to whom God entrusted him, and raised in such a way that he also grew into the man and God that he was to fulfill the promises for the forgiveness for our sins. That babe is destined to die. It's not the way we normally think about a baby being born. Happy birthday! Now we think about the death date. No. But for Jesus, that was something that was always, always before him. How long did he know that? He certainly knew that, we know, as an adult, because he talked about it multiple times. Regarding before that, how early on? We don't have a clue. But he seemed to be pretty well versed in the scriptures, as he was even in the temple talking to the leaders of the temple and answering their questions and challenging them on a few of his own, probably. We have a Savior. And that's where our focus needs to remain. But what Savior do we have, and what Savior do we really want, is what I was thinking about today. I mean, let's say that we elected a Savior, like we do politicians. We're going to choose a Savior. Would you have chosen Jesus? Would you vote for Him as the ruler of your life? Or would you pick one of these others? That there's a lot of other things and people that are called gods that certainly are not. But they have a lot of different things that they lead people in and expectations for them. I mean, I think that a lot of people might even, instead of choosing any other Savior, might put their own name down as a write-in candidate. Because, I mean, who better to fulfill the things that I want with my life than me? And who better to make sure that I get things the way I want them to be than me? If you look around the world, I think a lot of folks would have voted for Santa Claus. Because there's all kinds of versions of him everywhere. And Jesus isn't found in many of those places where he's found. And what do you look for in a Savior? If you're going to choose a Savior, what is it that you want this Savior to be like? Many folks want this Savior at life's end. Life's end is when we want a Savior. We want to know that we're going to be taken care of at the end. And maybe a few odd and end points in between when we feel that we need them. But other than that, we really don't want this Savior probably to interfere with our lives, because we want to live our lives the way we want to live our lives and do things the way we want to do them and celebrate the way we want to celebrate. So Savior where we need Him, Savior at the end of life, Savior when we're sick or hurting or need something. But other than that, maybe we'll go back to ourselves again. And that's what a lot of people do. They don't want someone that's going to require things of them. A Savior who's going to say, don't forsake the tithe, keep giving the tithe to the church, but also do these other things. A Savior who's going to say to them, you have to take up your cross and follow me. A Savior who's going to say to his people, you've got to forsake the things of the world and listen to what I say. A Savior who's going to tell them that I don't care what the world says, quite honestly. I don't care what the people voted for, quite honestly. I don't care what the ruler decides is good or bad or right or wrong. I don't care what that government thinks regarding this. You need to listen to what I say. Which means going back and staying in His Word. And when we get to a Savior like that, we start feeling like a little constricted. I don't know if I want a Savior that's going to have such expectations of me that I will even stand against people in the world because He says something different than what they're saying is right. Because He says something is wrong that they're saying is right. Because He says something is right that they're saying is wrong. Do we want a Savior that puts us in such a predicament? To be honest, I think a lot of people think of a Savior in an abstract manner as opposed to a real thing. Because if we can take Jesus and put Him away and rewrite the things that He said and reinterpret the things that He said and change from what He wants us to be to what we want to be in the way the world is and saying okay with what the world is saying, then we're really not acknowledging the Savior as being real. Because this Savior that's real is the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, the one who made everything that is and gives life and breath to everything that has life and breath, and who also has the power over life and death. And when the time comes to call us home, we'll do so at His appointed time. And while we're living in this world, continue to lead us in His will and His ways and have expectations that we will do the things that He calls us to do, to witness to people, to talk to other people about Him, to share the good news and the gospel of Jesus. An abstract Savior is a little more comfortable for people. But when you take a Savior and you put skin on Him and you give Him life, and you give him a story, and then he gives us a story that we're supposed to repeat and live by, and we call the scriptures the Bible, that's a little too real for some people. If you were to go a week without mentioning the name of Jesus to anyone, would it really change your life? How many weeks in our life potentially have we gone without saying the name Jesus to anyone? And I'll tell you what, yeah, it does change your life. Not for the good. But if you use the name of Jesus, if you call upon him in every need, if you talk to him regularly in your prayers, if you read about him and continue to dwell in his word, that's going to make a change too, and that's going to be a change for the positive, a change for the good, a change for hope, a change that leads us to a promise, and a change that reminds us of the guarantee of heaven because of what Christ has done for us. If we stop and remember what Jesus went through in his life, we can know that he can get us through whatever we're going through in life as well. And once he gets us through those struggling times, we need to not abandon him and go back to our will and our ways until the next time we need him, but continue now to celebrate him and live for him. And if we're in that word regularly, if we're praying regularly, if we're in worship regularly, then that Savior is going to be so much stronger in our life and in coming through our life into the lives of others. Who is Jesus to me? For a Mennonite, they would describe him as someone that we should model ourselves after, our teachings, and be his disciple, but not in some of the ways that perhaps a more mainstream Christian might follow him. For a Jew, they'd say Jesus is a false witness and somebody that's distorted God's word because they do not accept Christ, his birth, the Savior, the New Testament. For a Muslim, for a follower of Islam, they'll say Jesus is a holy prophet, but not any better than other prophets, certainly, and not one that we're going to give our lives over into for the rest of our life. And then we get to Christmas and we have to ask, is Christ who we want him to be? But what we need to do is turn that thought around. Because it's not a matter of, is Christ who we want him to be? It's, are we who Christ wants us to be? Am I the person that God wants me to be? If we're going to ask that question that I asked you to continue to pray on Wednesday, saying, how can I adore you, God? Just in your prayers to ask God, how can I adore you? We're going to have to know who this Savior is that we're wanting to adore. And we're going to have to answer the question, who is Jesus to me? He's not a firefighter, somebody who comes and puts out the problems in our life. He's not a Santa Claus, somebody who just comes to bring gifts to us and has just a jovial spirit. Have a gift. Be happy. That's what it's all about, being happy. Missing out on something really important there. Because to have that true happiness, to have that true spirit, we need to be able to adore the true Savior in the name of Jesus. And then if we're going to call him our Savior, how are we going to follow him as our Savior? And that gets back to that adoring of God. You have to commit to him if you're going to adore him. And that's where we're at today. Because the celebration of his birth is coming again. And it's not something that comes and goes because we put up decorations and take them down and we listen to stations all of a sudden turn off the Christmas music on the 26th of December. We don't pack them away in a box and put them away like some in the world would want to. We have a Savior that is going to be with us, and we're going to need to continue to hold as first in our hearts throughout the rest of this year, throughout the coming year. It's not just a matter of how can I adore you? It's a matter of who you're adoring. You have to have that Savior chosen first. I pray that for all of us, it continues to be Jesus. Because, as I started off saying, suppose we were to choose what Savior we wanted to follow. God gave us that choice. And He wants us to follow Him. But He gave us the choice. If we follow Him, it's only by His Spirit we can proclaim Jesus, without a doubt. Because God has placed His Spirit within us. But we can turn away. I'm pleading with you, don't. And don't put Him away once the trees go down. And don't forget about Him once the visual witnesses of Christmas are no longer around us. Continue to hold tight. Continue to pray. Continue to praise. Continue to adore this Christ. And as He gave Himself for you, choose this Savior and give yourself back to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, your lives, always in Christ Jesus, your Savior, your Lord, and the God. Amen.